Hey there, come on in, make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimek, and as always, it's a pleasure to welcome you for the next 30 minutes as this week we look at the Mass readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am really excited. You know, I'm always excited whenever I get to spend a little time with you on the show, but today I'm especially excited because the topic is food for the journey. And we're going to be talking about the power that is available to us in the Eucharist. I love this topic because, as you're going to hear, I'm going to share some things with you over the course of the next 30 minutes that you may be, I have a feeling you're going to be able to relate to, because it can be difficult sometimes to really feel the power that's available in the Eucharist, right? I mean, more often than not, we're not going to feel it. I'll just tell you that right now. You're not always going to feel it. I think it's safe to say that more often than not, you won't feel it. However, we're going to hear in these readings today a reminder for us of how important the Eucharist is for our spiritual survival. And ultimately, that's what matters the most in life, so that we can one day live with the Lord in heaven. But and that's obviously the purpose of our life. Our purpose of being on this earth is so that we can know, love, and serve God in this world and be happy with Him forever in the next. Remember from the old Baltimore Catechism, that's the purpose. A lot of times we get confused about that. Total happiness can't be found in this world. Total happiness is found in heaven. However, by following those commands to know, love, and serve God in this life, by doing that, we're going to find the peace that we seek. Not perfect peace, because that's only going to be found in heaven, but pretty good peace. Certainly the peace that the world can't provide. So if you're burned out, if you're struggling, if you're discouraged, even if you're hopeless, this show has got a great message for you. The cure for discouragement, for hopelessness, for excess anxiety can be found in the Eucharist. But the tricky thing is you're not always going to feel it, or you're not just going to receive our Lord in the Eucharist and immediately notice a turnaround in your life. It's more of a gradual process. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray about this. I hope to convey that to you this week, to give you hope, to give you some hope in the midst of your struggles. And maybe if you haven't received the Lord in a while, maybe if you are away from church, maybe it'll inspire you. Hopefully it'll inspire you to go back, because we do not want to overlook the importance of the Eucharist. As Catholics, we share many beliefs in common with our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters. Commonly, we call them our Protestant brothers and sisters, but that term is, it's a broad term, and there's a lot of differences in belief, even among Protestant denominations. And a lot of times we focus on, as we should, on what we have in common with them. And that's a great thing, because we have a lot in common with them. I'm a big believer that Catholics can learn from Protestants, especially when it comes to how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We can learn a lot from them. I have learned a lot from them, and I continue to learn from them. But what we have that they don't have is that belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And we can't overlook that. We can't overlook the importance of the grace that comes to us through the sacraments, through all of the sacraments, but most especially from the Eucharist. So that's what we're going to be talking about on the show today. I said a little bit more than I typically do before the start of the prayer. I was on a roll, you know, before I went on the air. I asked the Holy Spirit to come and give me the words, and He started delivering a little bit early. So why don't I put the brakes on now? Let's pray. Give you a little bit more information, and then we'll get right into the readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Please join me, if you will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to come to You for these few moments of prayer, for this time that we could spend together reflecting on Your Word in Scripture. We thank You, Father, for giving us the gift of life. We thank You for sustaining us. From the first moment of our conception, You have provided for all of our needs, and our existence is proof of that. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us into existence. We thank you for adopting us as your children. Not only are you our God, but you're our Father. And when Jesus took on human flesh, he made it possible for us to be your children. So, Father, we thank you for that. We offer up all of our needs today, all of our needs, especially the ones that are weighing us down. We offer them up to you. We ask you to answer our prayers, Father, in the best way possible. We pray for our country. We pray for our world. We pray for the Catholic Church and all of our separated brothers and sisters as well. All who are members of Protestant denominations. We know that we're connected, Father. Imperfectly, but we are connected. We pray that we can be united one day and that we can all believe the same truth as revealed to us by Jesus, your Son. Father, we pray for those who are discouraged or hopeless or even suicidal today. We pray for those who are in most need of your mercy, those who maybe have become lost or headed down the wrong path. We pray for those who are skeptical about the power of the Eucharist. We pray that their hearts can be changed this day. And for those of us who do believe in the Eucharist, we pray that through the working of your Holy Spirit and the readings we'll hear today, we pray that our zeal for the Eucharist will be increased and we'll better appreciate this great gift. And Father, I'm going to ask you to give me the words today. I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to make some comments. But I pray that through the power of your Spirit, my comments will be the ones that you want me to make. In other words, I want to deliver your message and not my own message. And Father, lastly, I pray that all of us can be open to hearing this message today. Please open our minds and our hearts to hear your words and to put them into practice in our lives. And as I always do, Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. I had a really good feeling about this show today. I really feel the Spirit working in me already. That's why I talked so much before the prayer. But I hope you're doing well. It means a lot to me. As I before I got sat down to record this program, I was running around doing a lot of things, and I have a lot of errands to run, especially with my wife not being able to drive at the present time. It's difficult for me to find the time to do the work involved in my ministry, this program, writing, all the other things that I have to do. But I was running around doing some errands, and I was looking forward to this time that I could sit down in front of this microphone and read these scriptures from the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time and speak about them with you. This means a lot to me, and I appreciate the fact that so many Catholic radio stations and so many podcast services make this program available. So all of this is great, but without you, this program would not exist. So I'm very grateful to you, and I especially want to thank you if you have sent me a financial contribution. I am so blessed. Ever since I made it known that I'll be traveling, I won't be able to travel anymore because of my wife's epilepsy, and that I'm going to have to cut down and things are going to be a little tricky, you have really been coming through. So I am so grateful for your continued financial contributions. You're sustaining me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your words of support. It really makes a difference. So thank you so much. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to keep doing this show for as long as I can. I'm able to record it at home. So it's something that is sustainable, as is my daily email reflection, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, I can't travel anymore, but I can still deliver this message in this way. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. But thank you so much for making it possible. If you would like to make a financial contribution to my ministry, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. You can do that securely via PayPal at followingthetruth.com. And again, but thank you so much. I do appreciate all you've done and continue to do to support my work. I want to also let you know that this is exciting news. It feels a little early to be talking about this, but my Advent book, Find Peace in Advent, which is essentially a Give Up Worry for Lent written for the Advent season, is now available. You can now order it from Amazon.com, from Ave Maria Press, from any of your typical online sources. I've been a little negligent. I have not updated my website to add the new book. I've got to do that soon, but you can order it now by going online. Just if you need to search for it, just go look for Find Peace in Advent by Gary Zimek, and you'll be able to find the book. But it is available on Amazon now. But we're a little early yet. We're still, the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time? We're just a little over halfway through the church year, which, when the old church year ends, then we begin the Advent season. So we've got several weeks to go, but I wanted to let you know that the book's available. Get it now. We're going to be talking more about it as we get closer to the Advent season. And there seems to be a lot of interest in the book, so I do expect it to sell out at some point, as has been the case with Give Up Worry for Lent. So if you want to get your copy now, it would be a good time to do it. Find Peace in Advent, a daily Advent devotional. But back to the website, followingthetruth.com is the place to go for any of the information you would like to find out about my ministry. All righty, let's look at these Mass readings. 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, food for the journey, the Eucharist, the graces available to us from the Eucharist. Really, really powerful stuff. So we're going to start out with the gospel, as I always do on the program. We'll let the gospel lead the way. John chapter 6, verses 41 through 51. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Now, you see, I'm going to stop it right here. We have a case where people who knew Jesus are dismissing his message, saying this can't be the Messiah. He's talking about being the bread from heaven, using all this flowery language, claiming to be the one sent by God, and he's just Jesus. He's a nobody. He's one of us. And I think this is really critical for us to recognize, because we don't know Jesus in the flesh. We don't see him with a body like we're used to. Our experience of the real presence of Jesus, unlike the people who knew him 2,000 years ago, is in the form of a white host, or in a form of what appears to be wine, but it's actually the precious blood of Jesus. That's the real presence of Jesus to us. But we don't look at the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and say, "Well, that's just Jesus. He's just a carpenter's son. Who is he? He's nobody." But in a similar way, we look at what appears to be bread and what appears to be wine, and there's a part of us, there's a part of all of us, not that we're doubting, but that we have a hard time wrapping our brain around the fact that this is really Jesus. Isn't that true? Like, okay, I know by faith this is him, but I don't know. There's something deep inside of us that causes us to question on some level, subliminally, subconscious, whatever word you want to use, not in a matter of denying the faith, because I know, I would bet most of us, we believe that that's the Eucharist. But we don't believe as much as we should oftentimes. And as a result, and look, I'm speaking for myself here. And as a result, I sometimes take this great gift for granted. And that gets compounded when we receive Jesus and we don't feel any different. You know, and so there's a danger to overlook the importance of the great gift that we have in the Eucharist. And again, I'm not saying that we deny the real presence of Jesus. Some people do. But I'm not accusing anybody of doing that. I certainly believe that's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in the Eucharist. But on some level, my senses are telling me, nah, it's not really him. And we get an idea of that sort of underlying belief when we say things like, oh, if I only was around at the time of Jesus, I'd be able to talk with him. I'd be able to come to him for healing. Well, listen, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed except his appearance. The same Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 years ago is available to us today. But because of that underlying disbelief, most likely caused by our senses, I mean, we're used to perceiving reality through our senses, right? So when we're told that that host and that cup of liquid is not bread and wine, it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, there's something, our senses sort of rebel, and we've got to push past our senses, deny our senses, if you will, and see Jesus by faith. And I'm just saying this because the more we really work at understanding, and that's going to come through a combination of grace and work on our part. You know, we've got to work at understanding that that's Jesus, but at the same time, depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to better believe, to more fully believe that that's him. So it's a combination of, it's a joint effort between us and the Holy Spirit, but we do have to spend some time working about it, working on it. And that's what I'm hoping comes out of this show. We really look at these readings and try, with the help of the Spirit, to grasp this message and better appreciate the real presence of Jesus. Okay, so these people are denying Jesus, saying, how can this be? How can he be the prophet? How can he be the Son of God? He's just Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen. I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Notice that Jesus is speaking the future tense, the bread that he will give. And even at the Last Supper, we saw evidence of that. He looked forward to what would happen on the cross, his death followed by his resurrection. And he really delivers a message to each of us, as well as the people who were there present with him at the time, when he said, this is my body, which will be given up for you. Again, speaking in the future tense. But he's making it very clear that we're not going to have eternal life unless we eat the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Jesus is the bread of life. So in a sense, and this is the big lie given to us by our senses and sometimes our own brains, that, well, I'll get by either way. I don't really need the Eucharist to survive. Well, ultimately, what are we talking about when it comes to survival? The ultimate example of that is eternal life, not just life on this earth. Yes, can people live day to day without consuming the Eucharist? Yes, they can. There's atheists. There's people who don't believe in the Eucharist. They don't receive Jesus, and they're still alive. So you can live for a period of time without the Eucharist. However, when it comes to eternal life, we got to expand that vision of life. God's vision of life is a lot broader than ours. He's talking forever. Many times we're just looking at life on earth. If you want to live forever, and I might add experience peace in this life, the Eucharist is necessary. Now, yes, there will be exceptions, and the church recognizes this, for people who, through no fault of their own, are members of other denominations or maybe non-Christians who don't believe in the Eucharist. That doesn't change the truth. It might make for an exception on their part. But those of us who do believe, we're bound to that belief. If we believe the Eucharist is Jesus and that it's necessary for eternal life, well, we're responsible for that. And we're also responsible for living and acting in a way that will make our belief known to other people. In other words, other people have to know about the Eucharist. How we do that is going to be different in each of our cases. But we don't want to keep this great treasure to ourselves. All right, let's look at the first reading now, and you'll see why this was chosen by the church. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree. But then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. Elijah looked. There at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. He ate. After he ate and drank, he lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, he ate, and he drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. Elijah was unable to make it any further. The journey was too long for him without the sustenance given to him by the Lord. When you look at that coupled with that gospel reading, you see this overall message. What's the journey for us? The overall journey for us is life in this world, beginning at our conception and ending at our natural death. Without the grace given to us through the Eucharist, it's not going to be possible for us to live in a way that will merit for us eternal life. In other words, we need the Eucharist to stay on track, to live as Jesus lived. Because we have a fallen human nature. Jesus didn't have that. We need the Eucharist to sustain us. Now, again, your senses are telling you that, no, you don't, but you do. If you attempt to be holy and live in such a way that would please the Lord and result in you living eternally in heaven, if you try to do that on your own without the help of Jesus in the Eucharist, at some point in time, you're going to fail. We need the Eucharist, even when it doesn't feel like it. And that's the point I'm trying to make today. Just because you don't feel the power contained in the Eucharist doesn't mean it's not there. I receive Jesus every day. I'm blessed to be able to do that. And quite often, I don't feel it. I don't feel his presence. But I know through faith that he's there. And I'm going to keep doing it because I need him. Because this journey's tough. Amen? All right, let's look at the responsorial psalm. Psalm 34, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him, that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the afflicted man called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him." Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. The Eucharist. We need the grace from the Eucharist to make it through this journey on earth and one day arrive in heaven. Second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning in verse 30. "Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. and be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. So be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. How are we going to live like Jesus and get rid of bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling, along with malice? How are we going to do that? Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving. How are we going to do that? You got it. With the help of the grace we get from the Eucharist. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen. So what I'm going to ask you to do as this show draws to a close, we only have a couple minutes left, is to pray for the Holy Spirit to help you better believe, or more fully believe, in the necessity of the Eucharist for eternal life. Now, I have to add this. You may be listening to this and be unable to get to Mass. You might be in your house. You might be disabled. You might not be able to get out of your house. You might be struggling with some sort of an illness. You can still ask the Lord to come into your soul spiritually using a spiritual communion. There's words. You can find it on the internet, spiritual communion. Or you could just say, Lord Jesus, I can't receive you right now, but I really wish to receive you. Please come to me. And the Lord can give you the grace that you received, if you had been able to partake in the Eucharist. So, you know, don't feel, if you're trapped, that your eternal life is in jeopardy. If you can't get to church, that's understandable. Maybe you can also contact somebody in your parish and have the Eucharist brought to you. All parishes offer that for the shut-ins, those who are homebound. So just remember, the Eucharist really does matter. That's the way we're going to more fully grow closer to Jesus and make it to heaven. Thank you for listening to the program. If you want to find out more about me or contact me, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And again, I appreciate your financial contributions. I really need them right now. You can donate online by going to followingthetruth.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. I'm praying for you. Please keep me in your prayers as well. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.